97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti's show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Final hour of the program. Nat Marlowe producing. You can get Nat's thoughts in a matter of moments here. At White G6 tweets in, me personally, I don't boo. Me and my crew that go to sporting events, mainly people in my family or close friends, we're not that the type that boo. We can't picture ourselves standing up and booing. When I see other people it looks childish. Look, as far as I'm concerned, there are lines to draw, right? Like, for example, this is going to hit people a certain way. One of my favorite college athletes of all time was J.J. Redick. And learning the things that people said to J.J. Redick and were cheering and chanting and yelling and screaming at him, like, was truly shocking to, like, freshman year of high school me. So I think there are lines that do need to be drawn. But the boo is the fairly standard, you know, I'm not happy sporting event situation, right? So if you don't want to, totally fine. You view it as juvenile, I think that's fine too. There are some people that just react that way. I've never booed at a sporting event, but if there are people that react that way, I'm fine with it. I don't think that it's disrespectful. I don't think that it's something that should create division between players and teams. Not that it should matter either. Let's go to Ben in Drexel Hill next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ben?
Hey, what's up? It's actually Stan.
Oh, sorry, Stan. How are you, man?
No, it's cool. Yeah. What's up with you, man?
How you doing?
I tried to get in earlier, but I was on the line for Devon, but I had to hop off.
Gotcha.
I was heading into the gym, so I was like, once I heard him say, you know, Torti was coming on, I was like, all right, Ben, I'll hit my man's up. I got him.
I'm here.
So, you know, real quick, I got to tell you, man, I was kind of going back and forth with somebody on Twitter about, well, I'll get to my Joel point in a minute, but
yeah.
Well, about Ben Simmons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm talking about, because I'm just saying, honestly, man, this is not even on some fanboy tip. This guy needs to win Defensive Player of the Year. I'll be honest with you. I'm sick and tired of Rudy Gobert. The guy stands in the lane and blocks shots. I'm not saying it's easy, but to see a guy guard 1 through 5,
yep,
where he guarded Kawhi Leonard one play, Paul George another play, Marcus Morris another play, LeBron James over here, Trey Young, Luka. Listen, we lost that game to Dallas pretty bad in Dallas, but I got to tell you, if there's any indication, Luka Doncic wanted no part of what Ben Simmons was giving him in that first half, to the point where Rick Carlisle had to pull him. You know what I mean? So I'm looking at it, and just by the numbers where nobody, I think, is shooting over like 40% or something like that when Ben Simmons is guarding them, I think the highest is like 38 or something like that. Maybe Kawhi, after last night, might be
right,
in his own thing because he shot better than 50. But I'm just looking at it, and I'm just saying to myself, this right here is what we need to appreciate. And this brings me to the whole Joel Embiid thing. I think about Allen Iverson and how beloved he is here. But I recall a lot of people weren't too mad about him getting shipped out of here when he did. I actually personally think he got traded a little bit too soon.
Mm.
I think Billy King, I didn't really like that. I thought Billy King, I really never liked him as a GM, and I think he got him out of here a little bit too soon, and I would have liked to see him kind of finish that out,
right,
and we just go from there. But I say to myself, what if social media existed back then? Like, what would people have said about Iverson with him going out the night before games?
Or Jordan.
And yeah, you know what I mean? And like,
yep,
you know, Jordan with his gambling things, and Charles Barkley, and how Charles Barkley, you know, he said whatever and the papers ran that. Could you imagine being on, just seeing a tweet from Charles? I know he doesn't do it now because he's old, but I'm saying, could you imagine if he came up in this era,
right,
and he's on social media saying the stuff that he's saying about the organization and this, that, and the third? Like, it's like, I think people need to chill out a little bit. I understand people got mad when he shushed us and all that stuff, but you can't say that he wasn't kind of validated in doing it, because people jump off the bridge. Like, come on, we got to look at things for what it is. Like, Embiid was struggling. We're not going to say he wasn't. But we all agreed that part of the reason for his struggles was because of the way the fit was with a guy like Al Horford and Ben, who were in the middle a lot and tried to take up that space. All of a sudden now, Al Horford moves to the bench and spacing gets better and Joel looks a lot better and he's having fun. And it's just like, I think we go a little bit overboard as a fan base. And we take that and we kind of help light that fire about that narrative about Philadelphia fans. Now, I don't agree with it, and it gets annoying when I see the national media bring stuff up. But at the same time, you know, people, somebody was talking earlier about, yeah, Philly fans, we don't do this, we don't do that. It's like, bro, we the same people that throw batteries at people. You know what I mean? Like, we have no filter about how we act. So we do go overboard at times, and I feel like sometimes just as a fan base, we kind of got to let things go as it is. It's really funny, too, because for as much as what's going on with Ben and how everybody was talking about Ben, about everything, it's been really silent on his front because of how he's been playing, right? And he's the quiet one.
Yeah.
He's the quiet one who doesn't really respond and doesn't really say anything. I know he said that thing with, you know, in the Nets series about, you know, the fans booing and all that stuff, but he doesn't really say anything. And it's just amazing that he's literally just been stone cold and been able to just ball through it, and I love it. And I just say to myself, and this is to all my fellow fans, somebody called in and said that they hope he breaks his leg, and, you know. And,
yeah, it's terrible.
With Mark in the morning and all that, and that really got me hot because I'm like, we're supposed to be fans and we're supposed to be rooting for our teams to win a championship. But what we all want at the end of the day, and I'm a 4-for-4. I don't watch hockey. I don't watch baseball. But I can guarantee you when those teams are in the playoffs, when those teams are playing well, I want them to succeed because I want my city to be able to flourish and have these parades. You think I'm not watching Boston having the Red Sox and New England and whoever else having these championship parades and all that stuff? I want that here.
Absolutely.
I want that here. And I feel like we need to stop doing all this BS and acting like little, you know, like little kids getting all, my feelings are hurt. You can say something.
Well, that's what it is. Everybody's, yeah. Stan, you're right. Thanks for the phone call, man. Everybody's in their feelings. That's what it is. Whether it's Embiid or the fans or whatever, people are in their feelings. Let's talk about Ben Simmons, player of the year for a second. Anybody who's talking about Gobert, I understand. Gobert has been getting put in the graveyard for like the last week. Everybody's jamming on Rudy Gobert. Happened again tonight. Gobert's been getting crushed in the lane. Might want to watch it. I don't know why it's that complicated with Joel Embiid, right? You're within your rights to boo if the player's not playing well. If he starts playing well, he's within his rights to tell you to shut up. As far as I'm concerned, everything's cool. It's the same thing that you would do with your brother, or your sister, or anybody in your family. Hey, how come this isn't happening? All right, it's happening now. Shut up. What's your problem? I'm cool. I'm fine with that being the way that things work. Scott in South Jersey's next on The Fanatic. What's up, Scott?
Yo, how you doing tonight, Joe?
Doing great, man. How are you?
Doing good. I want to talk about the whole Joel Embiid crap, but first I want to talk about a party foul I saw on ESPN last night after our big win.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing they show after the ESPN highlights of the Sixers winning was not Joel Embiid, was not Ben Simmons stats. It was the foul differential that Philadelphia gets at home as compared to on the road, how many fouls we get called against us. It's apparently the biggest differential in basketball. It can be clearly correlated with our home record and road record as far as how much you need to foul when you're winning and losing. And I just think it sucks that we can't even get a big win against a big team without that being the first thing.
Right, yeah. I wasn't aware of that, actually, Scott, so I'll make sure to go check that out. Thank you for the tip on that.
Yeah, no problem. And about the whole Joel Embiid thing, of course, I agree with you. I think it's all blown out of proportion. It's more national media than it is here, I would say. Stephen A. Smith, if you watch First Take at all, it's not that good anymore. But if you watch First Take anymore, he says he made the statement today that Joel Embiid hasn't been happy since Jimmy Butler left. And I just think that is something that someone who doesn't watch the Sixers every night might say.
Yeah, because, I mean, it seems pretty happy when he puts together those, like, dominant performances, whether Jimmy's here or not. I mean, I get the impression that he'd want to rip Jimmy's heart out in a playoff series.
I just thought the whole comment back and forth with him, although, like, you can take it in a certain way, it was not nearly clear-cut enough to say that Joel Embiid is trying to bid his way to South Beach. I thought, like, the way the media took that, it was almost irresponsible that they're connecting those lines in that way.
Mm. Well, you know, people, Scott, thanks for the phone call, man. People just thrive on drama now. That's what it is. Like, people just want to go with whatever the most dramatic possible outcome for anything is. That's just not what this is. And I talked about, you know, the relationship that you have with somebody in your family. You feel comfortable telling them to shut up. People have been asking about why this is way different than the Al Horford thing. And I would say that it's not that different, but a big difference is that when Al Horford is shushing the fans, people can get upset because they're like, all right, dude, you've been here for 5 minutes. Calm down. You've been here for 5 minutes and you haven't done anything. People within their rights to be upset with Al Horford. With Joel Embiid, I think part of it is Embiid's like, hey, I've laid this groundwork and we have this relationship for as long as we've had. For things to kind of be coming to a head here is a little bit frustrating. Maybe that's why it hits differently too, because you know it has been a relationship with Embiid that's been built up for a long time, and it's been all sunshine and roses until this exact moment. Man, I'm watching Bam Adebayo just put Rudy Gobert in the basket. Not my defensive player of the year. No, sir. 610-632-0975 is your phone number. Ryan on the cells next on the Fanatic. What's up, Ryan?
Yo, Joe, great show. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate that.
I got to be honest, this whole thing with Embiid, it's ridiculous. Like, the way I look at it is, if you want to sit there and you want to boo the guy, and you want to trash the guy on social media, and now he comes back and says something to you, and now you got, like, you know, the fans want to get butthurt, then just keep your mouth shut. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the end of the world. And honestly, Joe, what I get annoyed with me is half my friends that are texting me about this, oh, they need to get rid of Embiid. They're not even really Sixers fans. They started becoming Sixers fans when Embiid and Simmons come around. It's like, I'm tired of, you said it perfectly, like people thrive in drama. And I feel like that's just, they thrive in drama in society as a whole. But everybody's looking like every time Simmons or Embiid, like, they look at each other a certain way on the court. Like, everybody's trying to create a Westbrook-Durant situation part two. And I even think that's what the media is trying to create. Like, they're just looking for a way to cause drama to make it be like, oh, these two guys can't coexist. Like, as a whole, it's ridiculous. Like, I just don't understand it. Like, you want to sit there and you want to show up and you want to boo Embiid, and then he comes and tells you to shut up or whatever, and now all of a sudden, oh, you know, get him out of town because he responded to Jimmy Butler.
Well, so like, let me ask you something, Ryan. Is your problem with the people who booed in the first place, or the people who are kind of reacting to, like you said, the Instagram stuff with Jimmy Butler?
I don't care about the people booing, right? Like, I mean, whatever. You want to boo? I booed people before. Listen, like, let's be honest. You're talking about people that got booed. Remember the Super Bowl run? Nick Foles got booed off the field. What was it? The Christmas night
game? Yeah, the Oakland game. Holy smokes.
So, like, you know what I mean? So it's like, my thing is, if you're going to dish it out, like Embiid said, then be prepared to take it. Like, That's my whole thing. Like, so you can't sit there and boo him, and then when he does something back after he hits a big three, all of a sudden, oh, how you disrespect the fans. Because you're disrespecting him. Like, at the end of the day, they're all humans, regardless of what they get paid. The kid's, what's he, 25 years old? Like, I don't know what people expect. And this is the way he's always been. So, to me, this is no different. Like, he loves to troll people. Now, I do want to get to your a couple other things. In terms of the playoffs, right, like, so I don't know if you agree. Like, I know you said maybe like Miami, Toronto, like, you know, you don't agree with, you know, you don't agree with the fact that, you know, that there are bad matchups. Joe, I got to be honest. You know what scares me of why the Sixers won't go far? It's Brown and his rotations. Mm. Like, when's he going to get it right? Like, for example, last night, look at the numbers. Korkmaz never does well starting. What did he do when he started him? He was 0-for-5.
Right.
The guy comes off the bench. Like, Brown overthinks things. You know, that's my concern of why the Sixers won't win. They got the pieces in place. Like, Glenn Robinson III is a great player. As a matter of fact, I just saw this stat today, which was amazing. Is they had, I don't know if it was point differential, but it was the second highest ever with the lineup of Harris, Robinson, Embiid, Richardson, and Simmons.
Huh.
And I feel like that's the way they should go, honestly. I'm not saying, like, Robinson gets 30 minutes a game, but that starting unit, like, Brown's going to have to, like, the Mike Scott's, yeah, it's great, you know, he's done great for, you know, when we traded for him last year, but you got to cut your rotation in the playoffs, and you play your 8 best players, and you make it simple. And I think Brown, that's what's going to be the deterrent if we don't go far, if he's going to overthink things.
Well, he has time now, Ryan, and thanks for the phone call, man, appreciate it. He's got time to figure that out in the All-Star break here. And, I mean, the other thing is, and I think that this is not something, a small part of this, I think that you look at it and you say, well, you know, he's got to figure out how to balance surviving in the regular season versus putting together, as we said, this team built for the playoffs, which is conceivably going to play a little bit differently than the way that they have in the regular season. Right? Like, you're trying to survive and you're trying to win 50 games and try to host a playoff series. But is Al Horford going to be right back in the starting lineup come playoff time? And that's something that they're going to have to grapple with as well. Philly J in D.C. is next on the Fanatic. Philly J.
How you doing, Joe?
Doing great. How are you?
Oh, fine.
Good.
You had a caller a couple of calls ago that said, look, I'm not a big Ben Simmons fan.
Okay.
I don't think the Sixers will ever, like, take the next step until he expands his mid-range game. And I think you're going to see the same thing in the playoffs from him that you saw the last 2 years when they play an elite team. But I would never root for – he said – there was a caller in the morning show that said he hopes he breaks his leg. I would never root for, like
– so gross.
Him to break his leg. Yeah, like I can't stand Brett Brown, but I would never root for Brett Brown to die in a car accident. You know right. what I'm saying? Like,
some people just go way too far. Way too far.
Yeah, they just take it a little too far. I kind of disagree with another one of your callers who said it's mainly the national media. Because not just the national media. There's a lot of local people – in Philadelphia that was, like you said, trying to have this Embiid versus the fans thing and all that stuff, you know what I'm saying?
So, yep.
Because it's a huge story, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, it's low-hanging fruit, you know what I mean? Like, if there is this beef between Embiid and the fans, you can turn that into, did the Sixers have a chance with Embiid? Like, is it our fault? Like, do we really run people out of the... I don't see this as being nearly as big a deal as some other people do.
And you're one of the few callers, I mean, hosts and on both stations in Philadelphia that brought up the Ben Simmons calling the fans out last year. And that was a playoff game, not like a regular season game against the freaking Chicago Bulls. You know what I'm saying? That was a playoff game.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And he didn't even get booed in game two the next night, did he, Ben Simmons? I don't even think he got booed in game two.
No, you know what? And here's the thing. I think that Philly fans are reasonable to the point where if you perform, there's nothing to complain about. Like, I think that that's like pretty much the way that it goes. And Philly J, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. And like, Nat, I don't know about you. For me, I don't have a problem with, like, if I'm an employee and I'm not hosting the show the right way and coach says, hey, I don't like the way that you did this. I'd rather you do it this way. I'd rather, you know. For Simmons and Embiid or whoever else, you're getting booed. Okay, and you respond in a different way. There's no need to boo. There's no need to correct anymore.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, they're getting paid all this money to go out and perform, play basketball. And Anthony had a great quote earlier on his show yesterday. Greatness comes. Actually, it was Mike. I'm sorry, my bad. Greatness comes when you block out the noise.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, you know, you can also take it on yourself to help the noise go away. That also helps. Ground Trader tweets in. Miami about to lose to Utah. Celtics got beat yesterday. Bucks just lost. Raptors got beat by the Nets. Suddenly the Sixers, the only Eastern Conference final team with 3-game winning streak, heading into the All-Star break. Look out, world. Look out, world. Good stuff, Ground Trader. Let's go to Dominic in South Philly next on the Fanatic. What's going on, Dominic?
Yo, Mr. Torty. How you doing, my friend?
Living the dream. How about you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Listen, I agree with you as far as it being a little bit of low-hanging fruit, and I don't make as big of a deal about it. But that being said, my fear with Embiid is these type of things, like the motivation factor. I know the guy wants to be great, and I know Simmons wants to be great. I don't know if they necessarily know that there's a gear that it takes to, like, go – like, I know that I have no doubt in my mind that they put in the work and people that are close to them and close to the facility and the team saying that they do, and I believe that they do. I have no doubt. But I don't think that they realize when you have a guy like, you know, Kobe or a guy like Giannis or even a guy like Siakam, who these guys just are putting in, like, a ridiculous amount of work and bringing it to a completely another level to be a champion. And I don't know if they realize exactly what it takes. And the thing that I'm fearful of, more with Joel than even Ben, is the boredom factor, where I think the guy does, you know, we know it's a long tedious season for most of the guys, most players in the NBA, but the fact of the matter is, I feel like Joel gets a little more bored a little more often than others, and is trying to, like, create certain things just to stay interested. Do you agree with that, or do you think that I'm a little off kilter?
I don't know that you're off kilter, Dominic. I mean, I watch his, like, super strange Twitter beefs with, like, Andre Drummond and talking about how he's in his head and stuff. Like, things that you don't need to do. I mean, I think that you might be onto something in terms of, like, hey, he doesn't play every game, gets injured sometimes, like, wandering minds. I think that there's something to that.
Yeah. Looks disinterested at times, just looks like he doesn't want to be there. And I believe wholeheartedly, like, think about how many times he said this, which is so insane. I'm not going to talk trash. I need to go back to being happy and talking trash. I'm not going to do it. I am going to do it. Like, he's flipping and flopping.
Right.
Because I guess he wants to satisfy, like, see when Barkley and this guy, and they call him out, he sort of wants to satisfy them, but he likes doing all the other stuff, which I don't mind. I like it. Listen, I love it. If it's going to keep you motivated and get you in the game, that's fine. As a fan, I love it. Do we, as fans, get upset when he does that stuff and then, you know, things don't go great? Yeah, but if it's going to, you know, if it's the guy that it is and it brings out the best player in you, go for it. But that is my fear, is that he can't find what it is to keep him motivated every game. I mean, even in some playoff games where you feel like you can't fight through certain things.
Man, it's a grind. Dominic, thanks, man. It really is a grind. And I think in the playoffs, if he's available and he's healthy, he's good to go. I really do think that. You look at last year's playoffs, it's completely different. If Embiid's healthy, he doesn't get sick, that sort of thing, right? So I do anticipate that would be a completely focused Joel Embiid in the postseason. It's a long season, man. Especially when we think about this Sixers team and we consider them varsity enough that they're going to make the playoffs and be at a reasonable seed. Thought that they'd be higher than they are right now. But there's still some time to get all that squared away. Jamar, Sam, Corey, we're going to get to you guys next. 610-632-0975. It's the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back. Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm not trying to pick on Matisse Thybulle here, but if we're talking about two-way play and trying to find, you know, the right guy for it, 1A, Mikal Bridges had 14 points and 3 steals tonight for Phoenix in a win over Golden State. So that happened. You know, just throwing that out there for the people. Not to pick on Matisse, but, you know, there you go. We're very excited about Matisse Thybulle. Could have been this excited about Mikal Bridges years ago at this point. Let's go to Jamar in Miami next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jamar?
How you doing?
Nice. Hey, great.
Hey, so I'm just calling about the fan before. I hate, like, when fans judge other fans and tell fans how to act. Like, if you purchase a ticket, you're at the game, you should be able to boo whoever you want to. We sat there and watched Joel Embiid drag for, like, 2 games, and then he comes home and was dragging again. Fans going to boo. It's Philadelphia. Like, that's why I love being from the Northeast. Like, Philly fans, that's why I love being from Philly. I always down here telling my people I'm from Philly. Like, I hate when other fans tell other, as long as you're not throwing batteries or running on the field, I feel like you can boo whoever you want to. I feel like Joel Embiid is like a little baby. Like, he needs to grow up. Because we love AI. The reason we love AI, because he gave it us all every night. We can't give it anymore. I feel like this guy, he gives it certain nights he don't. You deserve to be booed for that. And I don't think you should shush the fans when you have one good game. We sat there and watched you dogging it in the Milwaukee game, embarrassed us on national TV, and he was called out on national TV. So I just hate when these process fans try to tell other fans how they should act. Dude, fans pay their money. They can boo if they want to boo. That's all I really got to say.
Well, I mean, I agree with you there for sure, Jamar. The question is, do you think that booing has a negative impact on the team in any way? Because if so, then I could get why people would prefer that some people don't. Oh, he bails out. See you, Jamar. Just left. Gone in a flash.
He flaked out.
I guess so. Doesn't want any questions. All right. I respect the hustle.
You want to know what I think the weirdest thing about this whole Shushgate drama is?
What's that?
To me, it's the quote that Joel Embiid uses. So maybe this is the comic book nerd in me coming out. Okay. But the quote Joel Embiid used with the shush photo is, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Right.
Which is from the movie The Dark Knight.
Right.
But the character who said that was Harvey Two-Face.
Yes. Harvey Dent, the bad guy. Yes, or one of the bad guys, as it were.
So is that Joel Embiid admitting that he himself is Two-Faced?
Maybe. That's an interesting point.
To me, it was just weird, like, who he quoted from that movie.
Yeah.
I get the idea overall, or at least I think I get the overall idea on why he's saying what he's saying and why he feels what he feels. But to me, it was just an odd character choice to quote.
I mean, to do the same thing, right? He could have said that he's the hero, not that Philly deserves, but that they need, you know? Could have gotten the same message across, pretty much. That's an interesting point. I don't know. To me, this is something that I was going to bring up earlier. I think that it is a case-by-case basis thing when it comes to relationships on teams, relationships between the fans and players and stuff like that. There's a guy, I want to get his name right. I want to make sure that I'm crediting properly. It's a guy who wrote for Grantland, and now he wrote a blog called Club Trillion. His name's Mark Titus. He was a basketball player, a walk-on for Ohio State. Hilarious. Really, really funny guy. But talks about a player that was known as The Villain. That was like actually his nickname was The Villain. We know this player. This player is Evan Turner, was known at Ohio State as The Villain. And Mark Titus, walk-on, a.k.a. like not Evan Turner, eventual second overall pick in the NBA draft, just lived to troll Evan Turner. Just lived to like make him angry and wind him up and stuff like that. And Turner embraced it. Turner liked the fact that he was the bad guy on his team, that he wasn't super popular, he didn't have an amazing relationship with his teammates. That pushed his game to the next level. I think there are absolutely guys. Kobe, you get the impression that Kobe ever wanted to be anybody's hero? You get the impression that Reggie Miller ever wanted to be anybody's hero when he was on the court, right? Guys who wanted to, like, literally cut your throat out, figuratively, on the basketball court. Like, that is the way that I think there are a lot of people that operate. I don't get the impression that Joel Embiid's ever been all that focused on being a hero. I think he'd much rather be a villain, a troll, and somebody who's really good, like a super villain.
He's a villain I can get behind.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm cool with that. 610-632-0975. Sam in Hatfield's next on The Fanatic. What's up, Sam?
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Good. So, real quick, I was unable to watch the game for personal and work reasons, and I just finished it about 30 minutes ago on a replay.
Okay, so you're fresh.
Yeah, I'm really fresh, and I'm hyped about this.
All right, let it.
The only thing that I had to criticize on this game was Korkmaz.
Okay.
I don't think he should have been in starting five. He was hot off the bench. And I think Glenn Robinson should have been in there.
Do you think that that'll be an adjustment that Brown makes moving forward here?
I mean, he did it in the second half. It seemed to work.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I can see Korkmaz just being great off the bench. I don't know if he's ever going to be that starting five player, though.
Well, I mean, and that's okay on this team, right? Because, like, what people talk about the Sixers trading for is, like, kind of an instant offense microwave-type dude. And if Korkmaz can bring that off the bench, then that works out well if you've got Glenn Robinson playing his role, Matisse Thybulle playing his. I guess the question is, like, now with time to think about it during the All-Star break, what are the rotations going to look like? Were you encouraged by what you saw there in the second half?
Absolutely. I mean, Korkmaz didn't really do much in the second half, but, I mean, Glenn Robinson seemed fine.
Yeah, well, I thought so too, Sam. And thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. I'm glad that you could catch up on the game. For me, watching the whole thing play out, Glenn Robinson's going to have a bigger role on this team. Devon was saying that he's going to be a guy who's in a rotation in that starting spot, right? I think that if you don't have Al Horford on the floor to start the game, you have more options. I think that bringing Horford off the bench is a much more attractive option than trying to catch up and try to figure out what's going to happen otherwise, right? Like where you start with Al Horford, now you're trying to play catch up and try to adjust that way. I'd prefer that you be able to go to the unconventional lineup without having the unconventional lineup be your default. It just hasn't worked so far. 610-632-0975, your phone number to hop aboard the conversation. Corey in Yardley's next on the Fanatic. Hey, Corey.
Hi, how are you? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So, I'm going to be honest, I did not see too much of the game against the Clippers last night, but I'm coming in here from a perspective where I'm really tired of Joel Embiid, and I've been saying this for 2 years. He is so soft. He comes in hard, but he's extraordinarily soft, and he comes up small in important parts of the game. And I've looked into every stat on him, and from my access, if you look on like Basketball Reference, and you go and you narrow it down from his, you look at the overall game, and you look at his shooting, you look at fourth quarter, you look at close games. When it's a close game in the fourth quarter, especially as time's winding out, he's a sub 300 shooter. He comes up small. He makes stupid plays. And I'm frustrated because I don't know if there's anything else you can do about him right now. And there's nothing that, I don't know if there's a good trade to get for him, but I can never see us winning a championship with him as our core player or with him at center right now.
What is it, Corey, about his game that leads you to believe that he's soft?
So you go and look at his stats. Under 3 minutes in a 5-point game, his field goal percentage drops from 47% to 33%. I look at the game against the Nets where he tried to, I think it was Dinwiddie, last year in the playoffs, he does a hard foul, and then he lets all of his team come in and try to back him up, and he backs away. He puts his hands up, not trying to get involved. After, you can argue whether or not it was a legit foul or not, or whether it was like a hard foul or not, but it frustrates me that he doesn't play hard on a day-to-day basis. And the fact that he missed, I think it was 2 games last year against Toronto, or it was missed one game and he played very poorly in the other game, it doesn't seem like his heart is fully in it with this team. That's not to say he's not a good player. That's not to say his heart will never be in it. But it seems like he takes days off and he's not putting it all in the way that some of those Philly players have put their heart in over the years.
Well, Corey, thanks for the phone call. I would say that I disagree. I agree with some parts of what you said, and I disagree with some others. Like, for example, I think that part of it is when you are being held out of certain games for load management and things like that, you know, you're doing your own load management on the floor sometimes. Like, I get that it's frustrating, but it's the NBA. Not every regular season game means everything, right? Like, I get that they're important. You're trying to get a home playoff series. To this team in particular, it seems like that might be extra important, but it kind of is what it is. Like, I understand the frustration that Corey and a lot of people have with Embiid not being locked in on nutrition, locked in on fitness, totally 100% on every single play. There are very few players that bring you that on a night-in, night-out basis across the league. Very few. There are superstars that turn it off and turn it on, too. Right or wrong, that's just kind of the way the state of the league at this point. 610-632-0975. Final segment coming your way next. So, more of your phone calls. We do have wide open phone lines. You can get in before the end of the show, 610-632-0975. We'll take a walk around the show to figure out how we got to where we are right now. And we will also bring you the often imitated, never duplicated One More Thing. All of that is on the other side here. It's the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Hanging out until midnight. Nat Marlowe is producing. All-star break for the Sixers. And with three straight wins, longest win streak in the Eastern Conference. I'm torn on this coaches leaving so players get to transfer thing in college football. There's a lot of people that are bringing up the Mel Tucker situation where he's talking about how he's committed to Colorado and moves. He's going to move on to Michigan State now after saying that he wouldn't. Lots of people saying that everybody, all of the players for Colorado should be given a free transfer if they want. Which initially, I mean, if coaches can just leave, that adds up. But then I thought about the school. And I was like, all right, so that means that Colorado loses their head coach and all of their players, like just in one fell swoop. That's tough. This thing might not be as open and shut as I initially thought it might have been. And it's something that doesn't get brought up a whole lot when it comes to this particular issue. This week only. Not next week. Get $50 worth of gift cards to the Philly Pretzel Factory for $25. Gift cards are valid at all locations and perfect for satisfying that salty craving or for your next party tray. Hurry, supplies are limited. Purchase at 97.5thefanatic.com. Keyword deal. All right, so started out with Devon Givens, and we shared the microphone from 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock, and we were talking about the fact that the team... Now at this point, heading into the All-Star break, what are the positives? What are the negatives? The development of Ben Simmons, big positive for me. In particular, the way that he has shot the ball from the free throw line, I think that is a big difference in terms of him taking the next step forward. Devon always talks about aggressive Ben Simmons being the best Ben Simmons. The ability to shoot free throws, I would anticipate, is a large part of that, right? So if he's going to be unafraid of going to the free throw line late in games, not only can he be out there, but he might also be more willing and more aggressive to take it all the way to the hole, knowing that you might get fouled in times outside of crunch time as well. So I think that is a big time plus. I mentioned that the injury to Joel Embiid is one of several negatives, big negatives from the team so far. And I get that it hasn't been a debilitating, like, season-altering injury, that there's been plenty of disappointment to go around beforehand. But when you look at the book, like the chapters of Joel Embiid's career, it seems like just being injured on a day-to-day basis is going to end up being one of those. So very disappointing stuff there. However, I do think the 50 wins is in sight. Go 12-2. In their home games down the stretch. And then, of course, if you kind of just go the same way that you have been going, if you can win a third of your road games, you're still looking at the Sixers being a 50-win team. So who knows where that puts them in the standings? Who knows what's going to happen here in the latter portion of the season as you are seeing some teams racking up some injuries, the Heat chiefly among them with Jimmy Butler being banged up. Not sure what his effectiveness is going to be the rest of the season. We'll see. But certainly it's going to be an exciting time for the Sixers as the playoffs loom. And then we ultimately get to figure out and determine whether indeed this team is built for the playoffs or if this is just another one of those almost also-ran kind of team situations. Okay, here we go. It's time for the often imitated, never duplicated, world famous, one the only one more thing. This one comes to us from Bleacher Report NBA, where Harrison Barnes has told ESPN's Tim McMahon that he is not shaving or cutting his hair until the Kings hit 500 or the season ends. As a reminder, the Kings are 21 and 32. So there's a lot of room to make up for here. I can say this and would not be that would not be that big of a deal. You know, if I said this, I months. It would take me months and I'd barely be able to do anything other than a goatee. I'd have some gross neck stuff going on, but I don't even know if everything would connect up top here. Just looking at what Harrison Barnes already has going right now, he's going to look like James Harden or Chewbacca or something like that by the end of this season. Because, number one, the Kings are not getting to 500. And two, there's a lot of time left in this season. So this is going to be spectacular from Harrison.
Correct.
That's exactly right. So now I find myself wondering if there are other things that players could do, whether it's shaving or haircuts or, something that they would do with dieting. I'm going to get another small tattoo every day for the rest of the time until we hit 500. Like, I'm fascinated by this. I don't know where it came from. I don't know why it happened. But I saw this on Twitter and I thought, this is the content that I'm here for. Nat, anything like this, would that interest you? Are you rooting against the Kings now more than you were before because of the Harrison Barnes situation?
Not necessarily, no.
No? Oh, man, I would be.
I mean, I have no emotional attachment toward the Sacramento Kings. So, but I think it's cool. Like, if he wants to grow it out, then fine. Like, a little weird, but okay. Like, maybe he's trying to look like more like Brent Burns. Maybe that's the ultimate goal, personal reasons or stuff like that. But one thing I used to do come playoff time, I used to do a beard and haircut bracket. So depending on which team won, I would get my haircut a certain way, and then I would trim my beard a certain way.
Okay, so was it like every haircut beard situation was like seeds, or were you trying to like emulate the teams that were winning? How did this bracket work?
They were seeds.
Okay, all right. So you had everything laid out there, and whoever won. Okay, all right.
Yeah, some were like I would like completely shave my face, completely shave my head. Depending on like what other team it was, I would just let everything grow out for the next 2 months.
Oh, wow. Go full mountain, man. Well, that seems to be what Harrison Barnes is doing. So I applaud the dedication, even though the Kings aren't going to get back to 500. And there's a lot of season left here. I wonder if he means the playoffs, too. I hope not. I hope he doesn't mean like till the end of the NBA Finals, because the NBA also has a really, really long playoff season. I don't know how good he's going to look, but if you want to look good, all you've got to do is outfit yourself in some cool Fanatic and Philly Sports swag. Lots of that is available at the Fanatic Pro Shop. Fanatic and Philly Sports team themed merchandise at great prices, from hoodies to long sleeve tees, mugs, caps, phone cases, tanks, and a whole lot more. Got to check it out. The Fanatic Pro Shop has something for everyone, including our lady listeners with unique Fanatic and Philly designs. Go to 975thefanatic.com and check out the Fanatic Pro Shop open now. I am still waiting for the massive Devon Givens face hoodie or t-shirt. I have not been able to find that yet. I will keep you guys posted on my progress. Thanks to everybody who called and tweeted in. My co-host for the evening, really appreciated you guys. Thank you to Devon Givens for sharing the microphone with me for 2 hours. Nat Marlowe, outstanding job producing. Thank you very much. Connor Thomas for the first portion of the program as well. I will be back on the airwaves tomorrow after the Flyers game. Talk to you then. It's the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Thank you very much.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.